can put a smile on the face of a child in Africa because of what you did in Alaska, then that's something that we should all be trying to do.
A Haines Service project wins big. Skagway students travel to discover American history. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. That news and more up next. 5 Haines students and a teacher were in Kodiak last week when they found themselves under a school lock-in because of a shooting at a nearby Coast Guard air station. The students were attending a statewide student government conference at a Kodiak school on Thursday when 2 men working at the Coast Guard station on the island were found fatally shot. Local police and state troopers advised Kodiak schools to go on lock-in, meaning no students could leave the buildings. Brothers Royal and Patrick Henderson said the school they were at was several miles from the Coast Guard station, and they never felt in danger.
None of us were leaving anyway.
Yeah, and we didn't really understand what had happened until a little bit later.
The lock-in lasted about 2 hours when law enforcement decided there was no threat to schools or the community after the shooting. A police officer visited the school to inform students and staff what had taken place. Haines School Counselor Lindsay Moore said she received an instant message on her computer from one of the Haines students, letting her know they were in lock-in at the conference. Moore said she notified Haines School staff and the school board, but the lock-in was lifted by the time many of them found out. Aside from the lock-in, the conference proved a success for the Haines students. The group ended up with a $500 prize for their service project work with the Kilimanjaro Children's Orphanage. The Haines students thought they only had to submit an essay about the orphanage project, which student Brandon Haxton did. But it turns out the essays were only to pick the top 5 contenders for the prize. At the conference, it was discovered the group would also have to speak on their project, so Patrick and Haxton quickly put together a presentation.
It was a little funny when we got up there, because at least I didn't know that we had to present. So they had me write a speech with the help of Brandon and his essay, and when we went up against all these big schools, Colony and Sitka, Edgecombe Joint and Project and stuff, and they had videos and laser pointers and PowerPoints.
Patrick said the last line of his speech seemed to create some enthusiasm among the 400-plus crowd of students judging the presentations.
I was encouraging people to take up a service project, and I said if you can help out a family in need, as Colony has, or help those who can't help themselves, or if you can put a smile on the face of a child in Africa because of what you did in Alaska, then that's something that we should all be trying to do.
The Haines Project received the same amount of votes as the project from Colony High School in the Matsu Valley, so the school split the $1,000 prize. But the Haines students garnered more than just money from their presentation.
More significant, I think, than the $500, though, is that after the speech, people were coming up to me and saying, how can we join you guys? How can we help with the Kilimanjaro Orphanage Fund? We got interest from Wasilla High School, Cordova High School, and Kloak High School, a couple other high schools said, it sounds like what you guys are doing is really good.
The Haines students have been working to raise money for the orphanage in Tanzania. They've raised $500 with a matching gift from the People for Peace group. Some students are traveling to volunteer at the orphanage this summer. The $500 prize money from the Kodiak Conference will also go toward the project. A truck backed into a section of the approach dock harbor at the Haines Small Boat Harbor over the weekend. Interim Harbor Master Phil Benner said at Saturday about 3 p.m., a pickup parked at the harbor had its clutch give way and rolled back into the fence at the approach dock. No one was in the vehicle at the time, and it stopped before falling off the 30-foot drop at the edge of the dock. Benner said damages are estimated at under $500. Skagway students are headed to the East Coast on Wednesday for a 12-day trip focusing on American history.
Every other year, the Skagway School District authorizes an educational experience, and it kind of leapfrogs a science-oriented trip to a history and civics trip. And this year, it'll be the American history and civics trip, and we'll be flying into Boston. We'll arrive Friday, and then we spend a few days in Boston, New York, a day in Philadelphia, and then on to D.C.
The group of 15 students from the 9th to 12th grades will travel with trip coordinator Corey Thole to several early American historical sites and the nation's capital.
I think lots of kids are just excited to go and see that many different places on the East Coast. But it's primarily in American history, so starting with Freedom National Park in Boston, we get to go and see John Adams' grave, for instance, and Paul Revere's house, and kind of all that really cool history that from that time period.
The students will visit national parks, watch the Broadway production of Phantom of the Opera in New York, and spend time at the Smithsonian Museum in Washington. The students have spent the last 18 months fundraising for their trip, including a bike raffle, concession sales, selling king crab during the Skagway Holiday Bazaar, burger feeds at the Elk Lodge, a four-course dinner fundraiser at the Skagway Brewery, and several donations from organizations and individuals. The students will meet up with other student groups from Anchorage, Montana, and Louisiana during their trip. Coeur d'Alene Mines Corporation is spending $4 million on exploration at its Kensington Gold Mine this year, but company officials say they're focused on stabilizing existing operations at the nearly two-year-old mine in Berners Bay, about 45 miles south of Haines. Casey Kelly has this report.
Kensington General Manager Wayne Zagarlik says the mine has outstanding potential beyond its 13 years of proven reserves. But as it develops, there will be plenty of time to look for new gold.
Right now we're focusing on primarily the next 3 to 4 or 5 years to make sure that we have a sustainable future and then start focusing on growing the resource.
Zagarlik and Coeur d'Alene Mines CEO Mitchell Krebs spoke at a joint Juneau and State Chamber of Commerce luncheon Thursday. While they did not mention specific areas where exploration is taking place, Corps officials previously have said they are looking to the west and south of the main Kensington ore body. The company ramped down production at the mine during the last quarter of 2011 in order to build up its infrastructure. That includes a new 200-bed dormitory, a new warehouse, a new administration building, and a new underground paste plant, which comes online later this month. A paste plant uses leftover tailings to make concrete that can be used to backfill drill holes and stabilize the mine shaft. Zagarlik says it's essential to future growth at Kensington.
We had mined a year and a half without a paste plant, which means, you know, we're creating voids and not having any, we're starting to run out of places to mine. And if you don't have the backfill mechanism in place, then it was creating problems for us.
Zagarlik says it cost the company about $1,068 to produce an ounce of gold at Kensington last year. He says that's fine when gold prices are over $1,600 an ounce, but he thinks the mine can be more efficient.
We think that Kensington can be, you know, an $800 or $900 an ounce producer and maybe more than that, depending on what sort of optimization things we can realize. We're really not in that phase yet. We're really looking to try and stabilize production, stabilize our workforce, stabilize all of our infrastructure, and then we're going to really start to focus on cost reductions.
Right now, Kensington has about 260 employees and a $35 million payroll. Zagarlik says about 70% of the mine's employees are Alaskans, and about 50% live in Southeast. Another 100 contractors are working at the mine at any given time. As a publicly traded company, CEO Krebs says Coeur's main focus is getting a return on shareholders' investment. He says Coeur believes the way to do that is by protecting the value of the company.
That is really in three areas. That's in the safety, in the environmental, and in the community relations aspects of an operation and of a mining company. We put those things ahead of sales, ahead of cash flow, ahead of ounces produced, because if you don't produce them in a environmentally responsible way, in a safe fashion, it doesn't matter.
Coeur d'Alene Mine's involvement in the Kensington project began 25 years ago. Krebs has been with the company for 16 years, serving as chief financial officer before being promoted to CEO. Zagarlik started at Kensington in March 2011 as assistant general manager. He was promoted to GM earlier this year. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
This is Margaret Friednauer for KHNS News. Special thanks to Casey Kelly for his help with this report. KHNS Newsroom is always open to your comments and story ideas. You can reach the news department by emailing news@khns.org or calling 766-2020 or 983-2853, extension 2. Thanks for your interest.